When should we launch? This is Mega Maker 2021 Episode 8. Whoa! Hey Josh, how's it going?
Hey, good, how are you?
Good. I was just to tell you about we did a Black Friday sale for Transistor. You're asking me how it went.
Yeah, how did that go?
So, we've never done one, and up until now, we've kind of been opposed to it. There's all these cliches in SaaS, like, don't ever discount your products. And as soon as I announced it, I had people going, never offer discounts. And we were talking about it in our Transistor Slack with the team. And I said, I kind of subscribe to that ideology, like don't discount, but we've never tried it.
Right.
So maybe we should try it. And a lot of adjacent companies in our space do Black Friday discounts, like WP Engine. And if it's good enough for Jason Cohen, maybe it's good enough for us. So I said, let's try it. And I forgot how stressful a launch is.
Right.
I used to do this all the time. Like in the course business, every year I would have a Black Friday sale where I'd put Marketing for Developers on sale. I'd put Jolt on sale. I had, a few books and courses that I would put on sale. Mm-hmm. Following the Wes Boss playbook. I think Wes Boss does like 50% of his revenue Black Friday. Like it's huge for him.
Wow.
And Adam Wavins, same thing. Like he would just sell so many copies during Black Friday. But I forgot how draining it is. It's so draining. Just the ramp up and sending all those emails and creating the coupon code and creating all the marketing materials and, also trying to communicate with our affiliates about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a lot of work. The results were not great. I haven't even talked about this with the team yet, but one result was I was definitely more stressed out. Like I'm staying at the office more.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I got stressed out at home. I was more on edge. So in that sense, it was not good. But, part of me is like, well, if it was a success, then I could probably alleviate some of that in the future by being more prepared
I've
done it once now.
Yeah.
But overall, I think from what I can tell, I think we only got probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 10, 15 new customers out of it. I might be misreading this, but that's my sense, is that we probably got 10, 15 new customers. And then we probably had 120 people who are existing customers who upgraded to annual and got the discount.
Okay.
Which is great. That's fine. We wanted to do that. That was part of the deal. I think in my head, this would have been a success if maybe 100, 150 people had upgraded and like 350 people had signed up for new accounts. In my head, that's kind of what I would have expected. Mm-hmm. And so overall, I feel like it didn't really work. And I guess now we've done the experiment. So.
Well, it's interesting. Like one thing that comes to mind is like have there been other launches like this, or I guess you guys have done a few contests. How have those done compared to this?
Yeah, nothing. We've done ads. We've done contests, and they all. They all bring in some attention and some, and podcasting is one of those things where it's not like a course. Like the nice thing about selling a Black Friday, doing a Black Friday deal on a course is people are like, oh yeah, I will take that and I will buy it now and I will put it on my shelf because one day I'm going to, use it. So people, when they see a book or a course on sale, they're just like, oh, I'll buy it now and then I'll consume it later. But when you buy a subscription, there's this countdown to, okay, I've got to do this or it's not worth it. And the benefit is that people who are in motion, who come to your site fully primed, like they're already ready, they've already bought their microphone, they've already been thinking about it, they've already got their co-host or their guests lined up, and they're like, okay, I'm ready. I've already got a few episodes recorded.
Right.
Sign up, I'm in. And we see this in our funnel. It's just a very short funnel. It's like, search for how to start a podcast or best podcast hosting.
Yeah.
And then sign up. So nothing works as good as that, as people who are doing these intent-based searches on Google. It's one of the reasons I like our category. It's just so simple, you know? People search for best podcast hosting, they find us, they sign up. It works great.
Well, yeah, like that, because that was kind of what I was wondering, because it's like, I just, and I'm trying to think of, like even when I switched to Transistor initially, I recorded probably 5 or 6 episodes and released them on one of those, the other hosts that's free and Spotify bought.
Anchor.
Yeah, Anchor. Yeah. So he started it on Anchor and then move over. So that was my experience. So I don't know, like, I'm trying to think if, for somebody who is wanting to start a podcast, because I'm sure there's tons of those people, whether they would take advantage of it even though they haven't recorded an episode yet.
I think Meeps has this problem too, if you don't come to the party fully prepared, I'm trying to think of a metaphor. It's one of those things where you wouldn't buy cable internet if you weren't planning it, you know, if you weren't going to move into your house for another 6 months. Like, you just, you get it when you're ready for it, when everything's set up and it's like, okay, now we need internet, now we'll get it. And that's kind of the way things fall. So,
yeah, I actually have some ideas around that. So maybe have to get into that at some point, but.
Why don't we get into it now? What are some of your thoughts around that?
Yeah, like I've just been realizing, actually I was ranting to my brother about this in a voice memo recently in WhatsApp. Was
you
just kind
send
of like
that voice memo, by the way.
I'll see if I can find it. Yeah. But it was just kind of realizing, like, I was thinking about my youngest sister. She has this little business. I hope she doesn't hear that. Little business makes it sound like it's really it's really condescending.
I think Transistor's a little business, so it's fine.
So she's running she's making scrunchies and then selling them on Instagram and just like to friends, texting and things like that. And I was kind of thinking about, like, what would be the next step for her? You know, and thinking back to, I mean, with any new business idea or whatever that I start, what's the process? And usually people get a website first and then you want to start collecting emails, especially with her type of business. A lot of people do really well when they just have this list of people they can send their newest product out to in an email.
Yeah.
And then they do a big, you know, launch and sell that line or whatever. And then maybe they do another one in a few weeks or whatever. But that's like the entire business model right there. And I have a friend who does really, really well with that system. And I was just thinking, like, even like for that type of a business, it makes sense to use Meeps. And so as I was kind of following this trail, I was just realizing, like, I think that what we're calling online community software right now, will be just what every person, whether it's a business or personal brand or whatever, is going to, the first thing that they create, the first thing that they do, whether it's with Meeps, I mean, hopefully it's with Meeps, or any other product that's in this similar space, the first thing that they create when they come online is you come on, you have your community, you have a, see, that's the problem, is the community title, but you come on, you create a Meeps account, you turn off all the features, you have a website.
Yes.
And you're good to go. And then when you're ready, you turn on the newsletter feature. And then when you're ready, you can turn on the merch feature, you know, but you don't have to ever open it up to community if you don't want to. And I think that's kind of one of the problems here is like, is even for my, actually, and this is initially where I ran into this, and we talked about this on past episodes, is I've been trying to look for ways to dog food the product, kind of, and I was having a really hard time because I just like, I can't imagine me running a community, especially right now. And so I moved my newsletter over, and that's been working really well. They just have the newsletter there and the website. And then I put my podcast up on there, and now I have a podcast website. I have this one place where my like followers and people who want to listen to my stuff or read my newsletter or whatever, they can all go there. It's eliminated a bunch of other tools for me. I'm probably not going to have, well, actually I'm thinking about some community stuff moving forward, but I don't have to. I can just stick with what I've got right now, and it's easy. It's all there. So I think that's the problem, is just we need a new name for it. And then someone else hopefully will go out and create that new category for us, and we can just come in with a ready product.
Totally. Yeah, the category is the challenging part. And really, other people are playing in this arena. Like Ghost is playing in this arena. Substack is playing in this arena. Webflow is playing in this arena. All the no-code tools are playing in this arena. But you're right. It's like it goes beyond memberships. It's like a business builder. It's like the other thing, the other word I thought of while you were saying that is it's like, I was like, what's another word for pre-drinking? You know, like before you go to the bar, people often like, you're pre-game or, you know, like you drink before you drink. I mean, this only covers one aspect of Meeps, but it's like, yeah, like you've got a new idea, you've got a new business. It's like your pre-game, you know? It's like, okay, I'm going to get this website up. I'm going to start collecting emails. I'm going to start collecting early access users, or I'm running a campaign and I'm going to get, this is something else I messaged you about, is the idea of some people might not identify with the word members.
Yeah. You know,
they don't want members, they want supporters. And so it's, you might be writing a new book and you might be like, okay, who wants to support this book early? And then you've got a bunch of supporters. Or who wants to support this podcast? You've got a list of supporters as opposed to members. And that, you know, Patreon, I think Patreon uses the word supporters. So yeah, it's challenging. There's like, it's a business builder. It's a business engine. I'm not exactly sure what the category would be, except we know that these things exist. It's kind of like another way, it's like a point of sale for digital product businesses. But not even that either. So it's
tricky.
Challenging.
Well, and that lists feature too, like with that lists feature, it just, I was kind of thinking about it, like, you know, you mentioned no code. And like no code is great. It's been so good for tech and for entrepreneurs and all that. But you really are still a developer if you're working with no code. Because it's daunting to me to get into that world. And I'm an engineer. So it's just you're another type of engineer with no code.
Yeah.
And it can get I don't want to make like ultimatum statements, but I feel like no code in the state, it probably isn't going to be something that like my sister's not going to get into no code when she brings her business online. It doesn't really make sense. So it kind of feels like what we're building here is like the commoditization of no code or something. Like you can do so many different things with Meeps. And now I've started on a job board feature, and we've got, you know, just released events, and like, so you really have this, you know, like what GoDaddy is going for recently logged in and saw that they've got, like, they've purchased, I can't remember whether it was Wix or Weebly or whatever, they purchased a website builder. There's actually people that I supported when I was working on Upscribe, you could tell that this was like their first kind of jump online. And so they went to GoDaddy and bought a domain, and then they set up their website there, and they set up their email there, and then they set up their newsletter there, and then they came to Upscribe to, you know, start collecting subscribers. But that's kind of what GoDaddy's trying to do. It's just still a little bit clunky, and they're not. But anyway, so Meeps is potentially that kind of a thing where people can come in and start with one piece and then add another one, and then
the challenge is you always need the kernel that gets you there, because even MailChimp, you go to MailChimp and their headline now is get down to business and grow sales, engage your customers and boost your business with MailChimp's advanced yet easy to use marketing platform. Do it all with MailChimp. Bring your audience data, marketing channels and insights together so you can reach your goals faster, all from a single platform. Get your business online. So they're doing, you know, give your brand a home with a custom domain.
The most
name,
general,
yeah,
the most like, general statement of, it's like the opposite of a startup is.
Yeah, and they're a big company, and you'd think they're smart, but to me, I'm like, what is going on here? Like, isn't like 99% of the people going to MailChimp looking to start a email newsletter? Why not make that your H1? So weird that companies are going this way, and I mean, part of it has to do with where they're at in terms of their maturity, and maybe they have insights that we don't understand. Like, there just is tons of people now going to MailChimp, and they're like, "Yeah, I'm going to start everything here. I'm going to do my whole business. This is the business platform. This is the start a business platform. This is the
Yeah, well, I think it is a bit of, we don't have to go too far into this. I do think it's a bit of disconnect from the customer. Is that like 90% of, you know, that sounds really high, but a lot of the people that came to Upscribe and people that I had reached out to outside of that as well, just like hate MailChimp, and they're like the way that they describe it is literally most of the time it was, I just feel icky using it, or there isn't even, you know, or general statements like it's just clunky, or it's, well, what does clunky mean? It's just so complicated, and then people that have been using it for a long time, they're just like, I don't know, we just got so much in there, so I just can't imagine taking it out, but I do think they're just so big that they can just, it's like, well, what's next? Let's just go wide and add more things. And they've got thousands of employees. So you either sell it or you just keep going wider and wider. And they may not be making nearly as much money with any of these extra features as they are with newsletters with email marketing still, but it doesn't really matter because they can get away with it. You know, it's a long-term game that they can play because of the size that they are. And, anyways, that's a whole other.
Yeah. It's hard to figure out. Cause another thing I was thinking about is that Meeps, at the end of the day, whatever use case becomes the most popular, the fastest will become your main use case for a while. And so, like, let's say that we somehow figured out how to make Meeps work for the crypto community. You know, every crypto community has a Discord, but they've got problems with spam. They've got problems with, you know, so now you can, like, enter your wallet instead of your email address, and then you can get invited to the Discord, and then you can, we also make it so that you can mint a cartoon avatar or something. Like, we could do that, and maybe it becomes incredibly popular, and maybe we should do that. Because there's literally, it feels like hundreds of new Discords getting started every day for crypto community. And if that took off and all of a sudden it was like, this is how everybody is running their community, their crypto community, all the other use cases we've ever imagined would just fade away, and we would just be serving this, that one group, at least for a while. So this is like right. in the beginning stage when you're fishing around for that thing that gets traction. It's like, I'm trying to think of a metaphor for this. I used to work in a sawmill that would like, you'd have a stack of wood and it would just like, when it was working, it would just grab the piece of wood and suck it in and then like get going. And sometimes it wouldn't work for a while. And you'd just be like, come on. And then you'd have to manually push it in and then wait. And then it wouldn't keep going, you know, it wouldn't go through the whole stack. But it's like when you find that thing that you start it and it just, the machine just starts running. It's just, you know, working on its own. That's the feeling that we're looking for. And yeah. Right now we're just kind of manually pushing things through.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Well, and this was the issue that I ran into with Upscribe. Pretty much, well, I guess right when you had sent that video to me, it was a couple years ago now, about where you saw Medium going. And before Medium kind of switched gears and added the paywall and stuff, Upscribe had a very, very, like, it had a lot of traction. It was really clear. It was very simple what it did. It was just, you know, it was just, and the plan was to add stuff to that as well. But yeah, there was just this really clear traction where I literally didn't pay for any advertising or marketing. People just kept coming in and happy to pay. And then as soon as that shift happened where Medium changed their policies and blah, blah, blah. It became this like, and this was the biggest, most difficult thing for me was to just pick something and cause it's just like, there's so many different possible directions mm-hmm. I could go and I would just get stuck there. And mm-hmm. which is ultimately what I came to you mm-hmm. with when we started, mm-hmm. Switched gears and started working on Meeps. But yeah, it's a real thing. And and there's a lot of other, indie developers or indie hackers that I've talked to and have reached out to me because of my podcast or whatever through Twitter who have the same problem, is just trying to figure out who to focus on, where to put their efforts.
Yeah. Well, did you see that tweet from Francesco? He's a creator of Mailbrew, or his team created Mailbrew.
Right. Yeah.
And then he said, and they launched Mailbrew first and it got a ton of publicity, like 9to5 Mac, top of Hacker mm-hmm. News, top of Reddit, David Hanemeyer Hansen tweeted it out. Like, lots of people were excited about Mailbrew, or it felt like it. Mm-hmm. And then 9 months later, they built Typefully, and Typefully just superseded Mailbrew in terms of revenue. So for the first time ever,
and what Typefully is more money. It's just an easy way to create a thread, a Twitter thread?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful.
And publish great threads.
Really well designed. I looks way better than Twitter, but mm-hmm. I was really surprised to learn that it was making more.
Yeah, yeah, and Mailbrew's a great product. I'm actually a customer of Mailbrew, and I just have this one simple use case I use it for, and it works great. And yeah, if you look at Mailbrew's homepage, they've got the social proof there. You've got David Hanemeyer Hansen uses it. Daniel Vassallo uses it. You know, like some big names. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you look at Typefully, they've done the same thing. Julian uses it. David Perel uses it. Corey Haynes. Mark mm-hmm. Kuhlberger. Nir Eyal. Like, indie hackers. So, clearly, there's a... Well, I guess clearly, Typefully was a thing. And... The thread I wrote about this was, you only really feel this when you've launched a few things. You know, you've got a few things under your belt. Even you, like you're saying, you know what that feeling is when people are just recommending Upscribe and just coming there all the time and signing up, mm-hmm. and it just feels easy. And it can take some time. Like I said, sometimes you just kind of fishing around and all of a sudden something grips and then it takes off and it's like perfect. And you feel like you're spinning your wheels for a while, but then when it finally kicks in, it's just that, it's like an engine that's can't catch the chain, and then all of a sudden it catches the chain and you're ripping. Like, that's such a great feeling. And it is sometimes hard to know what... I think the only way to know is just to put in the good old college try. And, you know, like I have one question in my head, which is there's all these professional community managers now who work for companies, who need to start communities for these companies, who need to manage the onboarding process. And, you know, maybe we need to be going after that group and just giving it the good college try and figuring it out, testing different approaches until we can go, okay, well, this didn't work. It just,
right.
We just can't get traction in this group for whatever mm-hmm. reason. And then, you know, there's other potential markets too.
How did this, this initially with Transistor, was it just, because I know at that time there was a ton of, like podcasting was in that new surge. Mm-hmm. Was there just so much demand, or did it take a little while to discover that Google search, like that, is it called long tail search terms? Is something like that? Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, long tail is actually not that big for us. It's,
okay.
It's like primary keywords is the big one. And, affiliates are a part of it because people want the best podcast hosting. And so when they search best podcast hosting, there's a bunch of affiliates are at the top of that list, top search results for that. And they've listed Transistor in their top three or whatever.
Right.
And that comes up over and over again. So that had a huge impact on it. And part of that was we were a brand new product. We were fresh. We were not from the industry. And so because we were product people, we'd built something that was like really performant and really well designed. And we had a generous affiliate program. And so the combination of those things, I think, helped. And then we were also able to build on everything else we'd ever done. So we had connections. We were able to get, you know, some big names pretty early. And that social proof really helped us as well.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And it did take a while. It was like we built it from, we signed the partnership agreement in February. So February, March, April, May, June, July, August is when we launched. And then I think it was August, September, October. Maybe it was like November when things really started like kicking. So it did take a little bit of time for that whole engine to everything to kind of click into place. Mm-hmm. But there's clearly some differences. Like there's this existing category that just had this, yeah, man, questions. And I mean, it does feel like probably the next step is to figure out when we're going to launch. Mm-hmm. So I posted right before we jumped on the mics here, I posted up a Twitter poll.
Right.
And I said, chatting with Joshua Anderton in a few minutes about when we should have our product hunt launch. We were hoping for November, but our options now seem to be this week. So sometime this week, first week of December, December 15th, January 5th, or January 12th. And right now, the question I was asking is, when should we launch? Are people checked out now until 2022?
Right.
Like, how are people feeling, you know? And there's part of me that just wants to get this launch over with. Like, just do it and then have it done. And then it's like, okay, you know? But there's another part of me that's like, well, we want to give it the best chance. And so when is the... So right now, as we speak, 23% of people think we should launch it this week. 16% said we should launch it on December 15th. 23% said we should launch it on January 5th. And 37% think we should launch it on January 12th. Thoughts, reactions, feelings?
Yeah, well, I've never actually done a launch. So I like, because it was like, Upscribe was such a mess, fluke thing. Somebody else hunted it, so I just kind of was along for the ride. I feel the same way. It's kind of, because, you know, we talked about this, I don't know if we recorded that last conversation, but we talked about this on a recent call where it was like, we technically, the product is available. Like we, mm-hmm. people know that they can sign up. So the only thing that really changes once we launch is that we're out of, you know, out of beta or whatever, and mm-hmm. that, and the pricing will change. So maybe mm-hmm. people are waiting for a monthly price because, I do usually tend to start with monthly prices for any product, mm-hmm. for the reason that we talked about earlier, just because, then you have a year to, you've paid for a year, whereas when you pay for a month, it's like if you change your mind, you just cancel at the end of this month. It just feels different to me. You feel like a less of a commitment. So that could be it. Price could be it. But otherwise, it's like there's not many other reasons why it would just all of a sudden explode. I guess except for the fact that it'll be on Product Hunt. So. But we've seen that doesn't, it's not as consistently effective as it has been in the past. And mm-hmm. It does seem like it would be a good fit for Product Hunt, but it's kind of hard to know because it is this new concept of community, online community software, like bundle.
Yeah. Thing. For me, I think it's more like the milestone. It's just like nice to have it right. done, get a bunch of attention. You make a big splash, get a bunch of people talking about it. You get some people checking it out, mm-hmm. and then it usually doesn't move the needle a ton, but it's enough that people are like, "Oh, cool!" And then you get some kind of it. It's another like check on, and it also helps kind of close out that pre-launch period nicely. Right. It's like a nice mm-hmm. way to end it. But if people are thinking about it's December and people are just like, "I just want to finish some projects and get ready for the holidays." And even me, like, I'm just like, every day it's like half my day is texting with my wife about what presents we're buying for exactly. the kids. And like,
yeah,
it's not like I'm thinking about like what I want to build in. I mean, I'm thinking a little bit about it, but you know, January is usually like,
yeah, there's a no pressure thinking about it. It's like, what could I imagine mm-hmm. to do? But you don't have like, to. You're not making any serious decisions right now.
Yes. But by the time, you know, that second week of January rolls around, I'm like, get me out of my house, get me back to the office. I am yeah. ready. I am ready to go. I'm going to live stream 20 times this year. I'm going to write that email newsletter. I'm going to write that blog. I'm going to make that thing. I'm going to
buy that gym membership.
Yeah, get that gym membership. I'm ready to go. So it might be worth waiting. Yeah, there's part of me that's actually feeling like maybe it would be better to wait.
It does
feel also like because that. It could create just a bunch more work for you in the sense that over the holidays, you're going to be, do you want to be answering customer support messages or do you want to just be able to relax a bit? You know, like right now right. we've got this Discord community. That's all we have to really keep up with. Any more thoughts now that I
yeah no you're right and I never think about that part. I'm always way too optimistic about these sort of things. It's like, yeah, what could happen? Sounds great. Mm-hmm. It's a check. That all it is to me is like we check off that thing in the list. But
yeah
there would I'm still kind of at the place where it's not necessarily more relaxing at Christmas time than it is when I'm working, but
mm-hmm. but, yeah.
I mean, I guess a lot of people are, but that was just kind of.
I'm just thinking, you're hanging out with your family, and then mm-hmm. it's Christmas Eve, and then all of a sudden you notice there's 20 messages mm-hmm. in the customer support app, and you're like, oh no, like what's going on? Sorry, everybody, I gotta go. You know,
that. And part, even if I don't, even if I have notifications off, knowing that people are expecting it at that time, is almost worse than actually seeing the notifications, because I'm just imagining. I'm imagining 100 notifications or whatever, or somebody with something, you know, mission critical. So, I think it sounds pretty clear, especially in, you know, like we were talking about, like January is when people are making their New Year's resolutions, and start a podcast is probably a common one. And potentially, you know, something like this would certainly, we have people that have signed up for early access that have said that they're, this is for something that they're planning on starting, but not yet.
We just had a big influx in new subscribers. Like there was a bunch of people that just signed up. I was surprised to see all those notifications.
Yeah, right? it's been really cool. It's and always fun to get new feedback and new use cases in there.
I was surprised by how many people showed up. Because I sent it out in a Black Friday email. Let's see here. Yeah, so in the last week, 6 people in the last week, which is quite a bit for us, actually. And the oldest member is 5 months old, I think, yeah. Is that right?
That went by quickly.
Went by quick. But again, that's probably, what did I say it was for Transistor? It took us 6 months to launch from the time we started.
Okay.
So that, we're basically on the same schedule there.
You guys had more early access customers though, right? I was trying to remember the other day what the...
Not a ton more, I don't think. Let's just see here. Maybe a little bit less, but... Because we've got like 30-something.
Yeah. And it's
34.
The other thing that's been interesting too is it's like... It's all over the map usage-wise. Like we have a few... we have a few communities that are where there's a lot of people in there, and there's a lot of usage, and then a few where people have kind of dropped off. And the interesting thing about Discord is we can tell that some people just don't go; they haven't been in there for a few days. So that part can be, which that's just part of, you know, whatever. But yeah, so it's kind of been all over the place. So the other part is like, have we gotten enough feedback to feel like all of the major issues have been found and all of the features are working the way that people want. So that part's tricky. That list feature actually was, and it's so funny because it was probably something that we talked about a little bit, and then I think I just had a day where I was inspired, and so I built the thing.
Yeah.
But it's ended up being so, people are using it for so many different things.
Yeah.
And it kind of covers a lot of, it's like a really good temporary solution that I can just point people to. It's like,
yeah.
We want to have a proper courses feature at some point, but you can use lists in the meantime. And in fact,
yeah.
Lists might actually just be a really good use for that. If somebody can,
yeah.
All we need is like a way to be able to easily navigate to the next list item and actually have like a proper show view, like a landing page for each list item. And then you can put a video on there and description, and there's a course, and it's all that you'd really need. A light course feature, you know, like we've been kind of trying to do with Meeps. So that's been nice. Knowing that lists is there, it kind of feels like even if there are features that we missed or that people really want, we can probably, like Kristen LaFrance at, what is it, Repeeps, the Repeeps community, they're using lists for events. And she actually initially, like I hadn't even thought about doing that. She said she needed an events feature. And she's like, but I'm using lists in the meantime. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's great. That works great. Yeah, so that kind of... I've said this too. It almost feels like that could just be its own yet another piece of Meeps that could just be its own feature, its own product.
Which could be an interesting experiment. One idea: let's set the launch date for Meeps for January 15th.
Okay.
Communicate that to folks. Hey,
good.
We're doing this. We're gonna.
Right.
It's gonna be there. This is the plan.
Mm-hmm. If you need events, if you need a newsletter, if you need a website, if you need...
if you need everything, it's going. If you need
everything,
going.
Anything.
And the early access will be available till January 15th. So if you do want to get in, like I said, we had 6 people joining the last week. Now's mm-hmm. a good time. Meeps.app. If you have an idea for 2022 that you want to pursue, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time, maybe in the new year.
Yeah. See ya.